This morning we're continuing in the book of Mark. So we systematically walk through the book of Mark. And we just really want to listen to God and allow His word to change the way we think, to change the way we live, we make decisions in a way to, we want to allow God to reprioritize our priorities. And we never want to set our plans in stone so that it's untouchable for God. Amen. But God must always be able to come and just soften the clay and change a plan, help us to change course. And this morning my prayer is that you will also open your heart so that even this simple piece of scripture can also just mold you and change you as it did to me. So let's jump into this. I'm going to start at Mark 1 verse 40. I call this sermon Lessons from a Leper. Not a leopard, like an animal. Okay. The only lesson you can learn there is stay away. That joke was for Anari. I must at least crack one joke a sermon or she's unhappy with me at the office and I get silent treatment. Mari understands what I'm talking about. Okay, just joking. I know how to get any mad and frustrated and everything on the same time. It's not hard. In any case, Mark 1 verse 40, let's get to more important things. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling to him. If you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, that's Christ, and touched him and said to him, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Thanks for the coffee. As I was reading this scripture, a few things came to mind. It's actually loaded if you look at it as a movie scene playing off. There's a lot of different dynamics and I was just opening myself so that the Holy Spirit can direct the message at me. And what came to mind for me is I asked this question, how must I apply myself to Christ? When I come to God and I look at what this leper did, it's clear that there's a certain way of approaching God that is pleasing unto Him and that will also give us results and also change our hearts. And a leper came to Him, imploring Him and kneeling, said to Him, if you will, you can make me clean. The word they're imploring, it just means to call or to pray for earnestly. Some translations would say, the leper came to him beseeching him and kneeling. And that also just means to ask earnestly, to plead or to beg. So the attitude of this leper was quite out there. Lord, I respect you with all I have. Please help me. Humbly I come before you. And I acknowledge that you are God. And the best way for me to express this is to go down on my knees. And the scripture says he implored him, kneeling down. Jesus, help. Help me. And I think that is the best place for any of us to start. If you're at a good place in your life, it's a good place to start. Bow your knee. Lord, I pray and I ask and I beg of you, be in my life. Enrich me, help me, heal me, restore me. But out of a position of humility and respect. If you're at a bad place in your life, it's like the tactic stays the same. Whether you've got a specific need or no need at all. Lord, on my knees I come. I implore you, help me. Because at this moment it's going so good with me. It's like I'm on top of the world, but help me. I don't think too much of myself. Help me to stay humble. Or maybe the other side. Lord, if you don't come through for me, now there's going to be big trouble in my life. I'm on my knees. So for me, it's clear that it was glorifying unto God. It shows God that I understand who is the servant, who's the God. Who's the one giving the orders? Who's the one receiving the orders? And I think it's a good place just to set our hearts right. Isn't that right? Because I think if I can remember to come to God with this attitude, I would be so open to receive from Him. I think He can speak very easily to me from that position because I will listen. Amen? Very easy. So my first point there is, how must I apply myself to God? Come with great humility. Like the leper. Lessons from the leper. Come with great humility. Jesus, help me. I'm on my knees. Extend grace to me. Extend mercy to me. Come into my marriage. Come into my work situation. I'm on my knees. Help me. Come and do not good things, but great things. And this is my heart. It's humble to you. Just read the same scripture again with an emphasis just on another part of the scripture. And the leper came to him, imploring him. Kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the chance is that this leper has not met Christ before this experience. I don't think Jesus had a conversation with him. That's my assumption, because I just think that maybe he would have been healed before. Okay? But I don't know what he was thinking about Christ. Is he friendly? Is he nice? Is he going to be accepting of me? We don't know that. But one thing this man was absolutely sure of is that Jesus Christ had power from above. He believed in the power of Christ. I'm not sure whether he really believed that Christ would heal him. I don't know if he believed in Christ's goodness, but he believed in Christ's power. And that's a good place to start as well, because if you believe that Jesus Christ has the power to heal and to save, you're saying you're God. I don't understand everything about you. I don't understand how you would think in every single situation. I don't understand how you will react. Will you reject me? Hey, as we get to know God, we know His character. I mean, I know He won't reject us, but let's say we don't know. It's a good place to start for this man to say, you've got all the power in the world. You are God. You must be God. You can heal me. You can do this because you are God. That's one thing he knew. And you know what the scary thing is? The people that was educated, they didn't know that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't say, you are God. You are all powerful. You are amazing. They could tell you a lot of things, a lot of scriptures, a lot of info. But they couldn't get this thing right. Christ, you are powerful. Change me. I'm on my knees. And then something that was just so amazing for me that goes with this whole point of the power of Christ. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. With the emphasis on me. And I think this is very important for us, and I want you to make a mental note here for yourself. Most of us would say, Lord, you can do anything. Lord, you can do everything you want when you want it. You created the heavens, the mountains, the earth. You created us with your breath. But often we're not sure whether God will take that power, that divine, amazing love, and apply it in your life. He says, Lord, I know that you can clean me. And that opened my eyes. Because Christ wants to get involved in your life personally. In the same way that He wants to impact the world as a whole. You know, we see multitudes. Christ sees the multitudes. He also sees the one. And it's important for us to apply Christ in my life. It's important for me to say, God, come into my life. Into my work, PWC. My place. Come into my health. Bring your amazing power that can change anything and come into my business with that power. I know you can do it. I'm on my knees. Applying Christ Jesus to ourselves. Not there. And I think that's maybe a trick we miss. And I think it's creating a gap where there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of loneliness. People say, I feel far from Christ. Because I think most of people, Christians that's depression, that has depression, will say, Christ can do anything, but I don't know if He will do it to me. I don't know if He loves me. And this leper doesn't know a lot about Christ, but he takes almost, he's almost like a Hans child. He comes, he says, I know that you can do this for me, because I've heard all the other things you do. Think about your own situation. Apply Christ to your own life. God, and then just, and that song came to my mind that Andrea and them always sings, God in my living, there in my breathing, there in your space, in your life, where you work, where that needs, that one thing that keeps you awake. Apply Christ. He's very personal. Not neglecting His power that is massive, but also accepting His love towards you personally. Does that make sense? How to apply myself to God? Come with great humility. Confess His power, thereby saying, You are God. And then apply it personally to your life, to your situation. Invite Him personally. Extend the invitation. I'm still in the same verse. And the leper came to Him, well now you know it, imploring Him. So we're really milking this, eh? And kneeling, said to Him, if you will, you can make me clean. This is interesting. It's a principle that I want to discipline myself in a lot more. Did you know that we should know Jesus and His will better than a lot of people we read about in the Bible? Because this man sees Christ for the first time. He doesn't know zilch about Jesus. And he's taking a shot in the dark. Sometimes in the Bible, you must remember, you must just read it like, sometimes like you would read a storybook. Sometimes a guy would say a stupid thing in the Bible. Doesn't mean that stupid thing is true. It's just recording of a stupid person saying a stupid thing. Like you'll see it sometimes in like the book of Samuel, you'll see people telling lies. Now if you quote that scripture on its own, and you take it as the truth, then you're not reading, you know, because this is one guy telling a lie, but now he tells a different story to another guy. So we just need to, you know, read the whole Bible. But for us, we know God's will, depending on how much you know scripture. We're not going to know everything. I know, for example, and you should know that, that God would not allow me to divorce. So, I will not fast for a week. When I'm 40 years old and there's a young girl coming around the corner, Lord, should I bless this young girl with my presence? I fast. I want to know Your will. It's stupid. I know God's will. I don't think about it. I get the thought, I smash it, I flush it down the toilet, life goes on. I know God wants to save people. I don't faff around with thoughts like that. I don't have to fast whether God wants to save someone or not. Maybe I'll fast for their salvation. Lord, I pray that the work will happen in this time. That's fine. That I apply what I know about the will of God, but there's also gray areas. And I'll take it from this man, if you will. For me, it spoke about my life. And I almost took stock about my life, what I have, what I don't have, and all the different areas. And I'm like, hey, this is my fish and my bread. What is your will with this, Lord? Yes, I know your will is to save people. I know what your will is not, for me to fall in sin and fall away from you. But what is your will with this? What is your will with my life for 2012? What is your will for me going forward? Are we having those conversations with God? What is your will for me personally again? I think it's conversations that blesses God. I think so. Because it shows to Him that we put value on His input, value on His purpose more than ours, because we are willing to take our plans and say, not my will, but yours. I think today I would say in boldness, it was the will of Christ to heal him. That man asked, if it's your will, you will make me clean. Christ saying his word, that go out and pray for people. At least it was the will of God that someone pray for that man. Because it's recorded. Christ said, go and pray for the sick. That they may be healed. But even this man was sitting and he's saying, if it's your will, heal me. I think it's a conversation that we must have in our prayer life more and more. What is your will for me? What's your role for me in church? I want to do this. I think this is where my gifts are, but what is your will? The chances is that God has designed you in such a way that your passion might coincide with His will, but just having that prayerful conversation to God blesses Him, shows submissive heart. Come with great humility, confess His power, apply it personally, present our lives to Him in submission to His will. Lessons from a leper. Simple, very powerful. Just for interesting sake. How did Jesus apply Himself? What moved Jesus? What drove Jesus to get involved into this man's life? Moved with pity, He stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with love. And I think today, if we are the broken, we are the humble, we are those that need to be touched, automatically we become the beneficiaries or the subjects of Christ's mercy. With compassion, He moves among us. He wants to help us. It's not His will that we struggle with depression. It's not His will that we go to bed lonely. It's not His will that we think there's no one in this world for me. It's not His will that we in the pit of darkness. When He looks, He's got compassion. He is willing to help. He wants to get involved. He wants to let His mercy flow to us even before we ask. It drives Him. He does not heal because He can. Just because He can, so He does it. Just because He can, He'll do it. He wants to. He wants to get involved. He wants to make us prosperous in earthly and godly things altogether. He wants to make us effective. He wants to make us overcomers, because when He looks on us, He loves us. Like a father sees his son, I want to see my son succeed. I want to see my son get this right. In the same way, Christ does not only have the power to get involved or the job description, He wants to get involved in our lives. That's what moves Him to touch His leper. We are the broken, we are the depressed, and we are the objects of His mercy. And then interestingly, He speaks. He said, I will be clean. What, when Christ speaks, there's something changes. That's what makes scripture so powerful. Christ's way of effecting change is He speaks. I will be clean. Doesn't make a fire, dance around it, salt, bones, throw it there. No, He just speaks. Be clean. Authority. That's God. And I think it's good for us to make sure that the Word of God is also in our mouths, in our hearts, that we read the Bible, that we memorize the scripture. In Stellenbosch, they used to call Neil Scripture Neil. It's a good name. Because he always had a scripture for everything. Take the scripture, internalize it, It's the Word of God. It's powerful. It's what keeps us standing. But the most important thing is that Jesus Christ moves out of love, out of compassion. He wants to get involved. He's driven by love and He speaks restoration into being. He gives consent. He says yes. Yes, be healed. Yes, be saved. Let's finish off. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. This is such an interesting scripture. I'm sure somewhere some of us had this conversation. Why did Jesus tell this man not to tell anyone? Now he goes and he does it. Is it now sin or not? Okay, you remember the story. Jesus says, don't tell, he tells. But now he's testifying. So testifying surely is a good thing. But what if Christ say, don't? You know, you get the situation. One Bible commentator found a way out of the situation. And I will actually ask Stevens what he thinks about it. He says, listen to this, verse 43. You know, Mark is a very rapid gospel. It moves, eh? And there's a lot of assumptions to be made. He says, not like blind assumptions, but referring to other gospels and see like what happened in the same place and just to put it together. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. He said, that commentator, sternly charged. He said right there, that's something. And he refers back to a gospel, to another gospel where Jesus would say, you are healed, go sin no more. He sternly charges him. Leprosy was also related with sins. People believe that you get this because of some other sin. And there was other sicknesses as well. So this commentator says Jesus was probably saying, now go and sin no more. Oops, I stand there. Go and sin no more. You are healed. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest for offer cleansing with Moses commanded. Can you see? Can you see what the guy did? He said that it's almost like don't go say anything to anyone, like it's after the main thing which Christ told him, not to sin. Sternly charge him, don't sin. Repent. But that is something that Tiens will put his torchlight on, I'm sure. But it's not for us to say really what Jesus now judges man. Did he do the right thing or the wrong thing? Let me rather speak about the implication quickly. The problem now was that Jesus could not go back into the city. Next verse says, he went out to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But it was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every corner. Jesus had to meet people in mountains, in deserts, by the seaside. It was no longer possible for him to walk into towns without being unnoticed, which was a kind of a hindrance to him. He didn't want to be the center of the whole government and the police and everything every time he entered the street because the streets can't contain the people. It's obstructing to his course. He wants to relate. And of course he wants to connect with as many people as possible. But this actually made it difficult. Which brings us to the most amazing gift that Christ can give. And that's why he said, I'm going away so that I can send a helper that can be with every man at the same time, filling the whole earth. No longer do we have to go to the mountains. No longer there by the seashore, thousands of people trying to press to find Christ, just to touch him, just to have an experience with him, just to be saved, just to see him. Christ said, I have to go away. It's almost like all these events builds up to Christ saying, I'm sending a helper, and it's better for you that I go. That was just to maybe put the whole thing into perspective, why Christ wanted this guy not to go out and speak to the whole world. for his safety and for his ministry. But finishing off, so how do we apply ourselves to God? I think there's a lot to be said about these four things. And I think it's very hard to miss God if we come with hearts like this. Humble hearts. Most of the times in my life when I've missed God, it was because I was arrogant, prideful, stiff-necked. I know better. I know you want me to do this, but I will do that. Stiff-necked. If I can come to a place where I regularly humble myself, take my heart, put it on the altar, say, God, you are God. I implore you help. Kneeling down. I think I will save myself a lot of trouble and gain a lot of peace, a lot of blessing. And also learn to understand God better, hearing His voice. I think we hear God better from down here than from up here. Another thing, just last as we finish off, every time when Christ touched someone, healed someone, He said, your sins are forgiven, now go and sin no more. He said that to the prostitute, to a few people He cleansed. It pleases God when we take His instructions with His mercy. I pray a prayer, I say, God, save me. 10 years ago, save me, change me, I repent. And God forgives me. I take His instructions for my life with His forgiveness. Yes, Lord, now I follow You. Yes, Lord, this gift was so amazing. I'm willing to do whatever You say. When Christ comes and He grants us mercy, He gives us grace, He gives us breakthrough, let us take with His mercy His instructions. Not to get to that place again. Not to hurt ourselves again. Like a humble servant, yes, Lord. Thanks for the mercy. Now, what do I do now? I follow You. Whether that be for salvation, whether that be into a specific situation, we take His instructions with His mercy. It's a wise thing to do. Amen. Let's stand up. Lord, I thank You that we have so much to learn from even a sick man, Lord, that You just passed along the way. And Father, my prayer is that all of us, Lord, that's standing here will have such an awesome relationship with You, Lord, that it cannot be compared, Lord, to anything else in this world, Lord. Lord, thank You for the gift of humility, and I pray that You will bless us with that gift this morning, Lord, that we will have the ability, Lord, to go on our knees and say, Lord, not my will, but Yours. Lord, I pray that we will have the guts and the strength of heart, Lord, to say, what is Your will for my fish and for my bread that I've got, that I possess, who I am, my skill set, my marriage, my work, my degree. What is Your will, Lord? Father, thank You that You are an impressive communicator. And when we ask, we open our ears, Lord, You speak to us, Lord. Lord, You even speak to our friends and they speak to us on Your behalf. What a blessing, Lord. But I know this morning, Lord, that the wise man will be a man that's on his knees. A man that doesn't take pride in the fact that he stands, but a man that knows that he knows Christ. May that heart be in us, Lord. But from that humble position, Lord, may we rise up and be the most confident people. May we rise up from that position on our knees and be the most amazing God-following people this planet has seen, Lord. Because You are our confidence, Lord. And You are our victory. And we thank You for that, Lord. We exalt You. Amen.